Next item on the agenda is presentations and discussion. And we have one this evening, and it's the POCO National Community Survey Results. And Jamie, do you want to...
Sure. I'm going to invite Kate and Sonia.
Kate and Sonia, come.
Just as a little bit of a background for people that are at home that may not know what all this is. So this is a national community survey done by a company called POCO that we work through the parent organization for the Mass Municipal Association. So there's a very deep credibility, as you'll see in Sonia's slideshow. There's about a dozen or so communities in Massachusetts. You'll notice some names, the people, some other communities that get talked about in this community quite often. Needham, Natick, others that are on here that do this survey. The main goal of these surveys is to do a random sample. They will go through this a little bit in the presentation, but just for folks at home, there was 5,000 random sample surveys sent out to folks at home this year, about 20% with a response rate of about 1,000 homes. And why is this different? This is very different, as you know, from a regular survey that we do. We do a lot of them for master plan, open space plan, but a lot of those responses are typically the same people. And so this really aims at trying to get a much better representation from throughout the community. Oftentimes people feel nervous about coming in here, maybe there's a language barrier. I know as they'll go through the presentation, we did pay for a service to have multiple languages so that it would be able to be treatable from all folks that from their native languages. And so what the goal is, really with this project, was if you look at the Needhams and the Natick and some of the other communities that will be on the map later, they do these random sample surveys every 2 or 5 years at regular intervals. This to me is something like audits, right? 15 years ago, the town may not have done audits. Now we do an audit every year, now we do an enhanced audit every year, and we build into our infrastructure essentially that kind of quality service. I think this is a pilot program. To be clear and make sure everybody at home knows, this was not paid for through local tax dollars, this was paid for through a federal grant. And ultimately, this is trying to give the council and the other elected officials and leaders in the community an idea if they want to continue on this type of surveying, this is going to give you very good data on where your strengths are, where your investments are, and where some of your weaknesses are, and where public policy can help, some of these data sets can help hopefully inform all of you. And all of us on what the priorities of the community are. So we have with us today, everybody knows Kate Hinckley, obviously our director of GIS, but also a representative, the executive vice president from POCO, Sonia Weintick, is also here tonight. She's gonna go through a slideshow, Kate's gonna go through her slideshow, and then obviously at the end, there'll be a great opportunity for questions and dialogue and discussion. So without further ado, I'll pass it over to Sonia and Kate.
Sonia's going to start off, and then I'm going to come in, and then Sonia's going to finish off. So we're going to...
Please. Teamwork.
Yes, exactly. So I just want to thank the town council for inviting me here. And I'm happy to present the results of your National Community Survey from 2025. Before I begin, I would like to thank Jamie Helen and Kate Hinckley for our primary contacts throughout the survey process. They provided a lot of thoughtful and detailed feedback so that we could do a really good job for you. I would like to also acknowledge my colleague Lily Vasquez, who guided Franklin NCS this year. She did the bulk of the work for this important project, and I get to come and get all the glory. So a little bit about us. POCO provides tools local governments use to empower resident voices. We strive to make civil online engagement accessible for your community. NRC is the research arm of POCO, that's the National Research Center, and we've worked with hundreds of jurisdictions nationwide over the past 30 years. I started with NRC in 2005, so this is my 20th year with this group, and it's been an amazing honor to work with councils and local governments all across the nation and doing important performance measurement work. To just speak a little to what he was saying, that you know what, like we think of this as like your ultimate outcome is whether or not your residents are satisfied if they're living in a good quality community. And so this is this kind of report card, this performance measurement that you can track over time can be really helpful in understanding that. We work with a lot of local governments. We're very proud to share our thought leadership. And so, you know, if you follow us on POCO, you can see a lot of cool things that other cities are doing as well with research. So bringing resident voices into your planning and performance measurement, this is definitely a best practice, and you are an excellent company. There are a variety of ways that survey results are used. Most commonly, jurisdictions we work with monitor trends in resident opinion over time to inform budget processes and strategic plans. Our results also allow you to benchmark your community and your community's specific characteristics and services against other communities in our benchmark database. Our hope is that these findings will add context to your work and spur ideas. The National Community Survey itself is a standardized 5-page comprehensive survey used to assess resident opinion about their community and local government. The survey questions are categorized into 10 facets of community livability that you'll see here. It provides a holistic picture of Franklin from the perspective of residents. These facets have been identified through extensive research as those that are the most impactful on quality of life. There are many survey items included in each of the 10 facets, and the facets align with municipal departments, so it makes it easy for town staff to quickly find information that's most relevant to their specific work. How a survey is conducted really matters, and we use our expertise to ensure your results are representative. We select our sample without bias and make statistical corrections for common response disparities, such as older adults tending to respond more often and in higher proportions than younger adults. All Franklin households were eligible, and the U.S. postal list with all Franklin households was purchased, and the zip codes were compared to the GIS boundaries provided by your town. 5,000 addresses were randomly selected to receive the survey, and they received two mailings beginning on January 8th. The survey was open for 6 weeks. The first mailing was a postcard invitation, and the second was contained a cover letter, a paper survey questionnaire, and a postage paid envelope to return the survey. Both mailings included a web link to respond to the survey online, so they could respond through mail or online, given whatever preference they have. The survey was also available in English, Spanish, Haitian Creole, Hindi, and Simplified Chinese. 973 completed surveys were received, providing a response rate of 20% and a margin of error of plus or minus 3 percentage points. This is an excellent result. Most communities we work with get closer to 300 to 400 responses and have a margin of error of plus or minus 5%, which is considered a best practice industry standard. So plus or minus 3% is really high quality. In addition to the randomly selected probability sample of households, a link to an online community-wide open participation survey was also publicized by Franklin staff. That open participation survey was open to all town residents and became available on February 5th. The survey remained open for 2 weeks and 523 responses were received. So that is also a really great response. That second survey is just to make sure that anyone in the city or in the town who wants to participate is able to. This presentation and our report is based on the 973 from the random sample. One of the advantages to local government for participating in our community survey is that you can compare to communities across the nation. NRC was the first organization to conceive of the idea of benchmarks, and we're very proud of them. And there are currently 500 communities in our benchmark database. You're in great company. The highest performing local governments get regular feedback from the residents and consider measurement essential for improvement. As such, it's good to note that you're not being compared to every town or every city, but we're being really compared to the best run cities. This is a list of the other Massachusetts communities in our database. Western, Somerset, Shrewsbury, Needham, Natick, Hoptington, Brookline, Ashland, Andover, and Bedford. Did I butcher them?
You didn't say Winchester.
I am from Colorado. By way of Canada. just on to the results. A bit of context for the presentation charts. The questions were asked on a 4-point scale where the respondent could answer excellent, good, fair, or poor. But for the ease of the presentation and comparison, only the percent positive are shown here. That's excellent. We also note the comparison to the national benchmark with shading on the bars. And in future years, if you continue this, you will also have a trend line benchmarking against yourself, which is probably the most important benchmark. In the survey, we have two questions that ask directly about the 10 facets of community livability. And here you can see that the ratings for the quality of each of those facets. We here receive safety as your highest rating, and it is well above the benchmark. The second question asks about the same facets, but is centered on how important residents think it is for the community to focus on them for the coming 2 years. We ask about both quality and importance of each of the facets, and we use those answers to create a quality importance matrix, or gap chart, which we'll see on the next slide. So this chart, which is also included in your report, is one of many ways to interpret your data. It can be used to help a community determine which areas may need additional policy focus or resource allocation in coming years, and which are performing well by comparison. It shows which areas are of relatively higher importance and lower quality to residents. And so here you can see economy has the largest gap and should potentially be a focus of attention. Utilities, health and wellness, and mobility have moderate gaps. Moving on now to highlight some of our findings. There's a lot of additional data in the full report that we're not going to cover today, but today's presentation focuses on a few areas that we found most noteworthy as survey researchers. So first, Franklin's residents have a great quality of life. Nearly all residents rated fire services in Franklin's positively, with 94% describing them as excellent or good. And, you know, I think the chief has got something to do with that, so it was lovely to meet him today. Ambulance and emergency medical services also received 94% positive ratings, and about 9 in 10 residents expressed satisfaction with crime prevention efforts, which was higher than the benchmark. Similarly, 90% gave favorable ratings to police and sheriff services. Oh, did I?
I'm so sorry.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
Oh. Oh, I hit right to safety. Oh, well, let me look
it
up.
Let's
here.
Do this one.
Yeah. Okay, so about 8 in 10 residents gave excellent or good ratings to Franklin as a place to live, Franklin as a place to retire, and the overall image or reputation of Franklin. And most plan to stay, remain in the community for 5 years and would recommend others to come to Franklin. Okay. Oh, now we're back to safety. Mm-hmm. Sorry. So most residents feel very safe in Franklin. You can see that safety from violent crime and property crime are above the benchmark, and that's actually quite uncommon. Most safety ratings are around the benchmark or lower. And then, as I said earlier, the fire services received excellent marks, as did crime prevention, police services, and ambulance services. Economic health is important to every community, and there are some areas here to look closer. Nearly 8 in 10 residents rated the overall quality of business and services as establishments positively. About 3/4 expressed satisfaction with Franklin as a place to work, while 2/3 gave Franklin favorable ratings for the variety of businesses and service establishments. Roughly 6 in 10 viewed Franklin positively as a place to visit. Half of respondents were satisfied with the vibrancy of downtown and commercial areas, and just under half gave favorable ratings for employment opportunities. About 3 in 10 rated the cost of living positively. These were all on par with the national benchmarks. Important the areas to watch, but common across the country. Franklin residents gave good marks to the natural environment. Shown on an earlier slide, residents gave ratings, 84% of residents gave high quality ratings to the overall quality of the natural environment. 9 in 10 residents rated air quality in Franklin positively. 84% were happy with recycling services, which was also above the benchmark. 70% of residents gave favorable ratings to yard waste pickup, while 68% were pleased with Franklin's open space. Two-thirds of residents gave good marks to the preservation of natural areas and water resources, which were similar to the benchmark. Populous regions usually face transportation network challenges, and from the quality important matrix, we notice the moderate gap for mobility. This is more of a yellow than a red flag, but maybe an area to explore. Residents rated the ease of travel by car the highest amongst mobility options in Franklin, with 72% marking it as excellent or good. This was followed by ease of walking at 67% and ease of public parking at 58%. Traffic flow on major streets received slightly lower ratings at 51%. Ratings were notably lower for ease of travel by bicycle and ease of travel by public transportation. But again, all on par with the national benchmark. Franklin residents rated snow removal, with 82% describing it as excellent or good. Both traffic enforcement and street cleaning received 68% positive ratings. Street lighting and sidewalk maintenance were rated slightly lower, each at 62%. All were, again, near the benchmark. Governance ratings are also on par with the nation. Amid a national trend of declining governance items, almost all items related to Franklin's government performance have obtained ratings similar to the benchmarks. Treating residents fairly and with respect while welcoming their involvement topped the list. Rated slightly below the benchmark was the overall direction Franklin is taking. It will be an important to consider continue engagement with residents to understand that perception. That summarizes the National Community Survey benchmarking questions. And Franklin also included a few custom questions on the survey to get some direction on a few unique topics. So first of all, affordability ranked as the highest housing priority, with 65% of residents identifying it as a high priority for future housing development. Sustainability and environmental impact were also important to residents, with 55% rating it a high priority and 34% a medium. Preserving the town's unique character and sense of community followed closely behind, with 52% seeing it as a high priority and 37% as a medium priority. So all were pretty important. Considering future development in Franklin, single-family homes were the top choice, with 82% of residents indicating a higher medium priority. Housing for 55-plus people were followed with 64%. Condominiums were desired by 51%, and multiple family units were by 45%. Accessory dwelling units were the lowest priority amongst the options. Public schools also received good ratings. About 8 in 10 residents had excellent or good ratings for the maintenance of building facilities and the overall image and reputation for Franklin Public Schools. Roughly 7 in 10 members positively rated student preparedness for post-secondary education and the overall quality of pre-K educational experience. The variety of extracurricular and curricular activities received good ratings from 69%. And again, we had a beautiful example of it tonight. So overall, Franklin is a great place to live. People feel safe and they love the area. Like many communities, there are some transportation challenges. And like most places in the US, there are some economic concerns. Residents gave good marks to the leadership, and in bringing their voices into the picture, you are well set to move the community forward with your residents.
So I'm going to do a little bit of a deeper dive. And I know some of this is going to be repetitive, using some of the same data, obviously, that Sonia is talking about, and they're on the same slides, but we're going to talk about it a little bit more. But I know that it's a lot of numbers and a lot of information, so I will keep it as brief and quick as I can. So initial thoughts, I know this is mentioned, but we had a really exceptional response rate. And I sat here 7 months ago, and I think I told you that I'd be happy with 500 responses, and we got double that. So for any residents in the audience or at home watching, it was incredible, and they did a phenomenal job, and good job, residents, for participating. It was phenomenal. I do want you to all consider the timing of this, that it was in January and February, and just kind of keep that reference in mind as to where we were in January and February as to what was happening. So this provides a real snapshot of that time, of people's feelings, their opinions, and what they were going through at that moment. So it creates a really good baseline for us to measure in the future. And I know that Jamie's talked about this already, but this creates a really good starting point. If we want to do this again in 5 years or in 6 years, or we'll have a place to start that we can compare where we are moving. You can't get an accurate, I know I'm the data person, but you can't get an accurate picture if you don't have the data. So this is it's a plethora of data. It overwhelmingly shows a really high quality of life for the folks that live in Franklin. There's a lot of support for town services. There is obviously splits of opinions that show up in the data, which is what we see in our region, across the Commonwealth, across the country. Franklin's not unique in that sense. We're also New Englanders, and we love to banter with each other. I say that as a born and raised New Englander. Also, it's very apparent that residents of Franklin share all the same frustrations that everyone across this country shares. We all have concerns about access and affordability to mental health care, child care, housing costs, just the general cost of living, trust in government, development, transportation, the natural environment, where we're going. Everyone's got anxiety about it. And it's something that's on everybody's mind.
Not me. Not me tired.
He's moving to North Franklin.
I know that Sonia mentioned this, but when you see the numbers, unless I've delineated it out, it is the excellent or good rating. A really important piece of information, I think, that deserves a slide all its own is that 99% of residents, this is the one that I'm splitting out, obviously, have felt the overall quality of life in Franklin was excellent, good, or fair. That's 1% that thought that life in Franklin was poor. I think that speaks volumes, that people are happy in Franklin. 88% felt that Franklin was a good place to live, 84% recommend living in Franklin, 83% want to remain in Franklin for the next 5 years, and the overall reputation of Franklin was 80%. So it's a high quality of life in Franklin. With any organization, there's always room for improvement, investment, places where people want to spend money, want to focus attention. And this is a very brief overview. I'm going to go through each piece individually. So one facet to look at is communication, transparency, and honesty. 38% of Franklin are happy with the direction that Franklin is taking. 42% have an overall confidence in the Franklin government, and 42% have a good or excellent view of being open and transparent. One piece that I think is really interesting that came out in the survey is that 19% of respondents campaigned or advocated for a local issue, cause, or candidate. That speaks volumes, I think, and is not a unique problem to Franklin, is how do we get our residents to want to engage more? Engagement is what makes a community run, and it's how we come together as a community. So that's something that we can look at and have a lot of conversations about, of how do we increase that. Information is there. Our town website is packed with information. Meeting agendas, planning documents from the planning board, budget information, it's all there. How do we make it more accessible? How do we make it more consumable? It's a lot, and that's something else we can look at, is how do we make that easier to consume for our residents? This was really interesting to me. I'm going to say that probably on every single slide, I'm sorry. that 9 out of 10 residents responded positively as to the neighborhood that they live in, that's a positive place to live. You break that down one more level, and only 25% were happy about the affordability, the available of affordable housing, 32% with land use planning and zoning, 35% with well-planned residential growth. People love where they live. They've chosen their neighborhood and they love it and they're very happy. And it's the other part of the community that they have different feelings of. And maybe you live downtown, you like a more urban area. Maybe you live in Northern Franklin and you want a little bit more tree coverage and, you know, access to a park right next to you or a recreation area. So you're happy where you are, but there's other pieces to think about and consider with the way that Franklin's growing and where it's moving. Mobility. Mobility and the economy. We'll start with mobility. 44% of the respondents were happy with the overall condition of roadways and street repairs. My office is the DPW, so this does not surprise me. I understand. We all want better roads. 42% ease of travel and public transportation, 55% the overall economic health of Franklin. The economy portion, I think, is interesting because, again, that's a local economy. There's the economy across the Commonwealth. There's the national economy. There's a lot of layers to look at. It's a sentiment shared by many people across this entire country. And recently, over the last few months, there's been a lot of articles written, a lot of additional surveys that have been put out by Suffolk University, by the UNH Survey Center. There's a lot of anxiety about the economy. And that, I don't think, comes to a surprise to anybody. But it is something very much to keep in mind in the future. It's incredible as to how loved Franklin is by its residents. Again, and I know this, a lot of this is repeat information, but I do think it bears repeating. 80% of respondents plan to remain in Franklin for 5 years and would recommend living in Franklin. 94%, that's overwhelmingly, feel that Franklin is a very safe place to live. 84% love the natural environment. 91% air quality, 88% cleanliness, 84% recycling. The fact that that's above the national average is wonderful. Our recycling center is clearly very loved. They have a ton of services up there, so it's an excellent resource for the residents of Franklin. There's a lot of pride. Franklin has a very rich history. Education, there's a 76% overall image of positive overall image of Franklin schools. 77% in student preparedness, 75% in overall pre-K educational experience. The education system here is very well thought of. There's a desire for more investment in it, but it has a wonderful reputation and people love our school system. A 96% excellent or good opinion of Franklin's library is, again, Franklin, everybody knows we have a very rich and deep-seated history in Franklin revolving around libraries, and our library is a gem in the community and is very well loved. So Felicia, I don't know if you're here, but okay.
You're smiling.
Okay, good. 87% feel that Franklin is a great or excellent place to raise children. There's an overwhelmingly positive sense of community and a welcoming community. We had as Sonia mentioned, we had an opportunity to have custom questions. We didn't have a lot of them, so I'm literally gonna go through each one. We had a 96% rate of custom current response time for fire and emergency medical services. 38%, this is a shout out to Franklin TV, 38% of residents watched a local public meeting online or on television, which is higher than the national average. So that's great. Great job for Zoom and all the YouTube videos, so nice job, Franklin TV. 67% of residents utilize the town's online payment system for billing, permitting, and licensing. That's a great stat. I'm heavily involved in the permitting and licensing system, so I'm already thinking about ways I can kind of bump that number up a little bit. One thing we did really want to look at and kind of take a dive into was the percentage, or where people are getting their information and how they're consuming it. 63% of residents got their news from that was either digital or social media, which that is fascinating to me. I mean, 10 years ago, it was probably pretty high, but can you imagine 30 years ago? And like, you get your news from the newspaper or the 5 o'clock local news and then 6:30 the national news. And that's just not usually the way people are consuming media anymore. So the primary source, I wanted to break it down more than just the digital news.
Digital news 38%, social media 25%. That's a big number, which I don't think is a surprise to many. Television 19%, newspapers down to 10%. Sources of social media, again, I don't think this is going to surprise anybody either, but Facebook is 29%, followed by Instagram at 13%, Twitter at 4.4%, Blue Sky at 2.2%, TikTok 2.2%. A lot of folks get information from podcasts as well. This is a duplicate of one of Sonia's slides, but I did break down the visual a little bit more. I grouped high and medium priority together with the low to not priority on where the town's priority should be when planning for future housing developments. And it just gives a different kind of view of the data. Sustainability and environmental impact, preserving the town's unique character, and the traffic management and transportation options are at the top. And I do think it's important to note that these priorities are mirrored in the master plan. So that's right on track. What types of housing? Again, I broke it down to separate the high and the low. And single family, 55 plus, and condos were top. School questions. 84% of the respondents felt that it was essential or very important for the Franklin community to focus on providing overall opportunities for education in the upcoming 2 years. So that's where you see the Franklin schools are loved. Folks still want more attention for the schools and more investment into that. This is another very interesting statistic. The question of have you attended a school committee meeting in the last 12 months? 82% said no. So that's another piece there. Like, how do we do that? How do we get our residents to engage? And I feel like that's, you know, an age-long question for local governments. Ratings for the various aspects of public schools. Again, this was on one of Sonia's slides. Maintenance of building facilities, overall image reputation, the student preparedness for post-secondary education, variety of extracurricular and curricular activities, quality of pre-K education experience. They're all ranked excellent or good, quite high. So again, the schools are loved, and good quality education comes from them. This is a level of support for the current education program services, whether they should be reduced, maintained, or increased. This is pretty, you know, obvious that either the current programming and services should either be maintained or increased. People obviously strongly support that. Everyone wants to support our schools and have as strong schools as we can. So it's a lot of information. What does it all mean? It means that there's a division within the town and where Franklin's going. That's not uncommon. That's how most people feel. You're never going to get everybody to agree on everything. It's really important that everybody be heard, that people are able to voice their opinions, which is where we get that community engagement. We want folks to be as involved as they possibly can, because there's always going to be conflicting opinions. We're humans, that's how humans are. We have that innate desire to discuss and debate. It's part of who we are. The real challenge is we have a lot of modern challenges that now play a part. There's social media. There's a lot of persistent inaccurate information. There can be a lack of civility over social media. That happens all the time, from a teenager to a senior citizen. It happens across the board. There is just an absolute need to increase civic engagement. And how do we do that? The information's available. How do we help people find it? How do we help people understand it and consume it? I know there's been discussions at the June 4th meeting about continuing the budget, the subcommittee meetings, and that's a phenomenal way to, I know it's a lot of time for a lot of folks. It's a great way to keep those conversations moving and to allow opportunities for more conversations. So a final thought. Franklin is divided, but there is an overwhelming common thread between everyone in Franklin.
and that's that they love Franklin. Like, people love living here, and they love being part of the Franklin community. And I think that that is a huge piece to really take with us, to know that there's going to be disagreements, but people love being here, and they feel very close to their town. Franklin is a wonderful place to live. It has a very high quality of life, high quality of services provided by the town, customer service. So we have a tremendous amount of support from residents that love Franklin and think it's a great place to live. And so I'm just going to talk more about what our next steps might be.
Yeah, I just wanted to mention a few things when you're looking to keep engaged with residents. So as part of the POCO program that you are all part of now, is that you can continue to engage with your residents on POCO. We have a survey tool that your National Community Survey was posted on, and you're free to continue to use that. It is sort of, it's like, I guess you could say SurveyMonkey or something like that, but it's meant for local governments specifically. And as part of that, you can ask residents to subscribe to it to continue to be engaged. So right now there's 131 residents who have subscribed, and so you can continue to put out short polls or surveys to follow up on these. Like, if departments want to dig a little deeper into their results and what people were thinking when they rated something high or low, or what they're concerned about in the economy, or just to get a little bit more background, our survey experts have created hundreds of short surveys that for local governments that you can just kind of take off the shelf, modify in the way you want, and then quickly get some more input. And so that is included, and we also have staff that can help help with the outreach plan and creating a survey if one of the things in the library isn't working for you. And then additionally, we also have a bunch of other data in POCO about Franklin. So we have pulled data from, I think, about 40 different public data sources, and we've benchmarked it for all basically city places or census places across the US. So Franklin, of course, is included in that. So there are, including your NCS data, there are about 400 data points that are based on on those 10 facets of livability. And they're all benchmarked, they all have time trends. And so you can kind of go in and look at, like, economy, drill down and see all the economic indicators that we've created for you guys. So that is also included, and just provides another bit of context when you're digging into for policy planning or just trying to think about performance measurement and where you're at and what needs you might have. And then the final thing is we have the National Community Survey, we do have some other surveys that we do, the business survey, an employee survey, an older adult survey, and also some simulations for budget simulations if you would like to give your community an opportunity to try and balance their own budget. It's a very interesting way to engage your residents. It can be a very meaningful experience to try and see what kind of trade-offs you guys have to make, and it's truly like, if you want to add this, you got to minus something else. You got to figure it all out. And then if you do that, we also have a taxpayer receipt, so you can actually see how all the taxes are being used. So a person can kind of put in what their income is and see what they're paying for things in Franklin, which I think is a great way to kind of close the loop on, like, transparency, a cycle. So that was a lot.
Sonia, thank you very much. Kate, thank you very much. And I'll look to the council for questions. Councilor Fongil.
Yeah, thank you. A lot of good stuff here. A few questions in no particular order. The national benchmark, we kept going to the national benchmark. Is there somewhere where you've laid out what that's defined as? Is that just the average across all your communities? Is there larger? And then also, like, what's the margin that says something similar versus more?
So it is the average of the communities, so of the 500 communities, it's usually 500, depending on a couple questions, fewer, quick, some communities might not ask, so it might be a fewer or less than that, like snow removal in Florida. But and then basically, it's if you're within 10%, 10 points.
10 points. Okay. That's awesome. That's pretty wide. 10 points in mm-hmm. either direction. Seven. Okay. Great. I'm assuming we have data on who actually responded. Do you happen to know? You said that you had done some right-sizing.
Like reweighting?
Yeah. Do you happen to remember what the response rates were? Did we get sufficient response rates, you know, sample sizes for some of those harder to reach, you know, traditionally harder to reach populations to do the weighting that we wanted to do?
I don't know them completely offhand, but yeah, when you have 1,000 respondents, or 973, you have enough to weight the smaller demographics to their proper proportions.
Okay. And were we able to do crosscuts?
Yes, absolutely. So if we have actually, you can online reports.
Yeah.
You can go and take any question by any demographic and see the cross tabs, and it will show you if they're statistically different.
Awesome. We have access to that.
That's the Tableau report.
That's the Tableau report.
Yeah. So if you go onto the NCS website, there's a link to it. I think I called it the interactive report.
Beautiful.
Yeah,
because Tableau.
Because there's so much in terms of that cross tabs.
There's
online interactivity is really helpful.
You'll have fun digging through that.
Yeah,
there's a lot of information.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so then if you're being that, do we have access to all the raw data?
Yes, the raw data is available. So we were advised by POLCO to remove some of the potentially
anything that's personally identifiable gets removed.
Yes.
Yeah.
But if you wanted a raw data set, you can have access to that.
They are also linked on the website.
Having said that, because it's weighted, if you're, the statistical weighting is somewhat complex. So to use an Excel file or something like that, you have to, you would get different results if you didn't statistically weight it, basically.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of information just on that Tableau report with a lot of drop downs and cross tabs. So most people find that
it's very user friendly, the Tableau report.
Awesome. Yeah, it's more to say that if hopefully not, but if POLCO ever wasn't around, that we would still be able to have the data that
absolutely.
And
absolutely.
Potentially be able to continue this.
Yeah.
Okay. And then we do the statistical. All right, raw data question. All right, and then I noticed that none of your questions, they were all asking people about their experiences mm-hmm. in town. They weren't asking people to prescribe policy solutions. Is there a reason that?
Yeah, this is really a needs assessment. So we want to see which areas you're doing well in, which areas are concerns. There are some questions that are about what's important.
Yeah.
To residents, but it's not, we're not asking them to prescribe a solution, I guess, if that's.
Yeah.
And I would say that sort of the follow-up surveys are probably a better place for that, because that often is really good for, open-ended questions as well.
Yeah.
And so it's just a easier interactivity.
And so to make it clear, the one question that did ask for policy solutions around housing, that was not designed by your team?
It was designed by our team, but it's not, I guess, it's not the National Community Survey question. It was a custom question that was designed by my team.
Yeah, I voiced it in going out in the survey. I was frustrated with that question. I think that it was poorly designed and not a proper way to do policy analysis within a community, and I found much more value in people naming the importance of environmental conservation, addressing traffic congestion, housing affordability, and downtown vibrancy than attempting on little information and a poor set of questions, what their preferred housing type is. in front of me. So that was my largest frustration. Really appreciate all the information and your willingness to come and speak directly with us.
Of course.
Thank you, Councilor Frangillo. Any other? Councilor Chandler.
Through you, Mr. Chairman. Hi, ladies.
Hi.
Obviously, it's great to hear that our safety and quality of life is the most important, because all nine of us, everyone out here loves Franklin. We do. We love Franklin. The thing I just wanted to touch on quickly was the social media. Now, when you said Facebook was the highest, I would automatically think that it was an older survey group. But in this town, people are very active on Facebook. And you even said, what, 21% of the people here get their news from Facebook? 25?
From digital or social media.
Oh, I thought that was from Facebook. Okay.
She also then broke down what the digital and social media was.
Right.
The largest group was on Facebook.
On Facebook, yeah.
All right. And you had one question, that would people stay here 5 years or more? I didn't see this other one, but was there anything after your kids graduate high school, would they leave or stay?
That was not a question.
There's not a specificity about a time period.
But that could be a future survey.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You could also look, when we're talking about how you can drill down by different demographics, that would be one where you could look at. You would be looking at age ranges, probably. It wouldn't be exactly, or if people have children at home.
You can pull that off of that report that we just
It wouldn't be exactly what you're talking about, but it could give you a
closer.
Right, because that is the biggest age people file a divorce, when the last kid goes to college.
Yeah.
Just so you know that. Okay. And lastly, sorry.
You're true, though, right?
Lastly, just to piggyback a little bit on Councilor Frangillo, like some of these school questions on like the staff, and this is page 27, but that's what I'm going off of. You know, would you cut or increase staff, or you know, should staff be maintained? I just think I don't understand these ones. I don't always agree with here, because after the last two overrides have failed, it almost looks like people were almost afraid to say that they wanted to cut things. Because you have, you know, strongly support 4% not cutting, and then oppose 48. So I don't agree with that page that much, but I appreciate everything else, all the other stuff. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilor Chandler. Councilor Jones.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Sonia, Kate, great. Say it, of course.
I thought he'd get through the whole night.
No. All the wonderful work that you did with BTW. I'm sorry you have to have the wrong complaints.
It's part of the job. I also drive a lot of the roads. So.
Yeah, that's true. First off, I want to thank all the hard work and everyone for all the hard time and effort to make this survey. What appears to be a very thorough, detailed, unbiased and non-slanted survey, and I'm surprised by the percentage that turned out, 20%. These are very good, this is very good information, and particularly happy about the fact that, you know, 99% of the town is, for all intents and purposes, favorable. What's sad to hear that 1% is poor, we have to help these people down and see what they do with a smile on their face. Maybe better communication, who knows. But I'm going to take some time to look over the survey and digest information and see if we can do, as we start planning, A, towards, you know, next year's goals, as well as looking towards, you know, as I see here, the 250th anniversary separation is coming up. We have a bunch of whole cool economic opportunities coming up with this, the World Cup coming to the neighborhood. So we've got a lot to think about. This is a lot to digest. My question in regards to the survey really boils down to, of those communities, is there a comparable that you can generate or is generated that, say, for instance, compares frankly to a peer town that's equal, say, 30,000 people, same rough demographics within Massachusetts, or at least within the Maine area, that would be able to apples and orange type of, or apples and apples kind of situation?
We never compare it to just one city or town.
Not one, but just
a we can do custom, what we call them custom benchmarks, where we can customize by region or population bands. Some get really specific, like I'm from Boulder, sometimes to one of like college towns or something that like is unique to what they're
to our community.
Yeah, what you're specific. Yeah.
You know, not snow removal in Florida. That would be a bad thing. Plus the housing is different down in Florida too. Most of my family lives in the villages down in Florida.
Yeah, I think it's an interesting thing. I working with communities, like I would say most communities in some ways are more like than difference, you know, the kind of services you need to provide, the structure, and all of those things. So they're comparable, and you can find best practices from communities all over the place. But yes, definitely we can do customized benchmarks that look at more of a unique band.
Because I think ideally, at least from my perspective as the former chair of the master plan, is to kind of do a little compare and contrast. What is it that these communities do that is similar to us? Kind of look to see what type of policy changes they had potentially put in place in order to kind of improve on those areas so that we can either emulate it or even come up with our own type of policies to help improve the lower percentages on the survey. That's just a general thought on my idea. That's why I was wondering if it was possible. Is it something you would do or something that is automatic to?
It's something that we would do because it's we would be
specific.
Yeah, we would specifically be call it selecting specific communities. So it's something we're actually trying to work on to do actually on our platform that you could, the client could do themselves, but it's not there yet.
Okay.
It's in the roadmap.
Thank you. Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Councilor Jones. Councilor Hamlin.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Sonia, Kate, thank you very much for all this incredible information. One of the things I just want to say, people rated that Franklin is a great place to retire, right? So that kind of answers sort of Councilor Chandler's question about if you're gonna stay after your kids leave high school, right? And I love the idea of you build your own budget. Like that would be really kind of, it's like a SimCity kind of thing, but it's like the budget. And I thought that the road quality, that people like the roads, was actually high. So I guess it depends on how you look at it. I find this community design page that you have here very interesting, that what Kate mentioned, how people love where they live. They love their neighborhood, but they might not like other people's neighborhoods so much, right? So there's things here that I like, well-designed neighborhoods, like I don't well-plan commercial growth, well-plan residential growth. Like I don't really know, is this exactly how the question was stated in the survey? Or like, so I'm just wondering like, well, if people say that they don't like, or that there's only 35% that rated residential growth that was well-planned as good or excellent, like is that, I'm just asking how the question was kind of asked, I guess. Like it was just like, do you think the...
So most of these questions are, you know, a grid list of things. So it's, you know, please relay Frank, or you know, please rate the following items in Franklin.
Right.
It's basically, and then there's a list of things, so...
And so what you have here is the list.
Yes.
That was on, so I guess that's really my question.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Okay. All right, thank you. I think this one's very interesting, the data here. And I find that it's really amazing how similar we are to the benchmarks. And the availability of affordable quality housing is only 25%. So, and it's the same all over.
It is the same all over.
Yeah. Okay, thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Councilor Hamlin. Councilor DeLocco.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you for your survey. That was good, but I know that I want to talk a little bit about, like you said, how the town is divided. We obviously know that the town is divided. We all do, all nine of us, even the nine of us here, all know that. I know you said, having the subcommittee report, they're all good, but even here, it's the same people all the time. It's the same people that come to the subcommittee meetings, it's the same people that come here. We gotta find a way, and the only way I know is for people to get out there. Because they're not gonna come to us. We gotta go to them. It's the only way we can get them. Because I know the community, I mean, I've been on this council 14 years, I can get a phone call from somebody that says, are you still on the council? I voted for you. He probably did 6 years ago. you know what I mean? So even I see that. You know what I'm saying? It is way, way divided, and we do have to find a way to get the community more involved. And I'll help any way I can, but I know it's really frustrating for everybody, and everybody that's here. You know, so I just wanted to bring that up. But I know you guys are doing a great job. It's nobody's fault.
Well, that's the thing. It's not. I mean, people. Everyone has their own unique experience in life, and I think the best way to continue having a positive and fruitful community is to have empathy and to be curious and not judgmental. And I think the best way to do that is to ask questions. Why do you feel that way? What could happen that could maybe make something better? Tell me about an experience you had that makes you feel that way. I mean, it's a challenge that...
Nobody has an open mind anymore. Tunnel vision. This is what they got. Nobody wants to work with anybody to help. It is getting frustrating for a lot of us that have been here for a long time. You know, it really is. I do agree with you, Brian, though. Brian's kids and my kids are kind of all graduated around the same time. And we've got a lot of friends that have just either got divorced or just moved out of Franklin. Because, you know, that's why Brian said that. So I want him back. But thank you.
Thank you, Councilor DeLocco. Any other councilors?
Just quickly, for what it's worth, the demographic comparisons on the public tableau don't seem to be active. The ability to break down, it doesn't seem to be flowing or not, everything else.
Are you getting an error message, or is it just not?
Just blank, it just isn't responsive. It actually says Telluride ranks as a place to live, and that sort of doesn't fill in the blank. So.
It says what? Tell you,
right? Another community, I'm assuming.
Yeah, it's someplace in Colorado.
Yeah. So I'm assuming that that part just hasn't.
It is a nice place.
It's a beautiful place. It's a nice place. It's the Switzerland of Colorado, the U.S.
So we can read it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. We'll make sure it's working. That's not good news.
Any other questions from councilors? I guess the only thing I might add to piggyback on Councilor DeLocco, I think this council has done a good job in the last year of trying to get as much information out as we possibly can to as many residents as we could at the time. It's still very concerning to me that the numbers is, and I know you were happy with the 973. We have 34,000 people, 24,000 voters in town. How do we get to more of them? And I think, again, to piggyback on Councilor DeLocco, it's really up to us to go to them. And what are the tools we can have to get out to them with factual information? Because I'd love to see that 973 be, 4,000 of the 5,000 that you send out.
I will say, in terms of just the statistical survey, it's probably not going to be that. Just because it's, not in this case, but and the 973 is quite remarkable and excellent for this effort. But in terms of getting around to everyone for just the purpose of engagement, absolutely, you want to hear from everyone that you can.
I guess I'm just not easily satisfied.
Me too.
I wish we could.
I look for more, but I also look for more ways to get to more of the community. You have public meetings. You spoke about the Joint Budget Subcommittee that met for 6 months on a regular basis in different parts of the community, trying to engage as much information or questions and trying to get factual information to the community. And what are other ways? How else can we do it? We got to a lot this year, but we need to continue to strive to get to more. And one of those, and we're open. I know every one of the counselors is saying, hey, you want some information, we'll help you get it. Reach out to us. Help us help you get the facts to make informed decisions as we move forward. So I know I sound a little frustrated, but it's just wanting to get more information to the public. In fact, I was almost a little surprised that on the different ways of getting news, that there wasn't a percentage for the coffee shop.
We should add that.
Councilor DeLocco.
Yeah. I did add that.
Well, that should be honeybees and West.
But again, I know it's our job. It's what we get elected to do, and what we need to continue to do is reaching out to the people, trying to get out to the residents as much information, factual information, because as we've all alluded to, sometimes what's on Facebook isn't fact. Sometimes. And that's a frustrating part for us, as we know that that's not fact, but how do you get them the right information? So, with that, I'll go to the audience, and I was sure that Steve would raise his hand. So.
Thank you. C. Sherlock, 13 Magnolia, Community Information Director for Franklin Matters, Franklin Public Radio. Comment at least in regards to, I like the 38%, but it doesn't really necessarily jive, because if you remember earlier this year, we did our own unofficial survey. Half the people don't even know we have a TV station, never mind a radio station.
Right. Yeah.
So 38% watching a meeting, that's impressive. The key question for me, and there's a lot of data, and it takes me time to filter through and make some sense of it. Key question for me is, what's next? It sounds like this certainly is the benchmark. Are we truly going to get another survey in a year, 2 years? What's next?
And to your point, Steve, I think this was a starting point, and we looked at it as a starting point. And it was nice that it was funded outside of the budget. We obviously know what the budget shortfalls. There's not a lot of money to be going out doing surveys. So, I do think that this is a start. I do think we need time to digest a lot of this report, because there's a lot of information in there. And I think I would just look to Jamie and say, maybe our agendas are full for the next couple of months, but maybe in the fall, September or October, we bring you back in and we talk a little further about some of the information that we've been able to gather through the survey, and maybe at that juncture we talk about, what is the best time frame to answer your question, Steve. Is it 1 year, is it 2 years, is it three, is it five, is it seven, is it 10? What is the right year, number of years before you go out again? Or maybe it's just the state of the economy. What's the economy like in 2 years? That might drive you to another survey. I know that's not a definitive answer, but at least hopefully it gives you a little bit of insight as to where we're going. Yes.
Just to his first point, I do think that I had the same reaction to, like, 38% are watching these, and the amount, and in general, if 20% of people are responding, those are more likely to be the people that are most engaged with the government and what's going on. And to me, I see those maybe less indicative of the town as a whole and maybe more indicative of the response bias that we might have received in terms of, oh, it seems like the people who are more likely to respond to surveys are those that are more likely to be showing up to meetings and watching TV.
Totally agree.
Thank you, Councilor Frangillo. Is there anyone else in council chambers that has a question or a comment? Mark, name and address, please.
Yes, Mark Minicali, 31 Longfellow Drive. So I enjoyed seeing the results, and I have a question. At the very beginning of your presentation, you talked about the statistical survey and then the additional survey that was done for those who wanted to get feedback. How would you recommend we use that information?
So
the second
piece. We call it open participation survey because it's open for anyone to participate. We generally look at it we look at it as those people are generally the people who are even more so engaged. I would absolutely agree that any survey that you're still getting a more engaged public. It's probably not all the people who go to meetings, but it's that next layer of people who are a little bit more engaged and don't have time maybe to go to a meeting. So it is a little more representative. But the open participation, because it's from community outreach from the city, is likely people who are even more engaged.
So how would you recommend we
use that? I generally look at it as, the survey on the Tableau report, you can look at the results, you can compare the two, and you can think through, is there a more actively engaged group, and what do they think? Do they have a different opinion than the general population? So I think one of the things that surveys can often do, the statistically sampled surveys, if you feel like there are certain loud voices in the community, you can check to see, are those loud voices representative of, who are they representative? Are they representative of the community as a whole? Are they representative of the person or a smaller group of people? So I think it's just another way to check and see, what are you hearing? Do you have differential response, basically?
Thank you.
Thank you, Mark. Anyone else in council chambers have a question or a comment? Is there anyone out there in Zoom land that has a question or a comment? I don't see anybody. Do you? Okay. Okay, Sonia, thank you very much. Great presentation.
Thank you.
Thank you for all the work that went into it, for sure.
Always.
We are now producing this in collaboration with Franklin TV and Franklin Public Radio. This podcast is my public service effort for Franklin, but we can't do it alone. We can always use your help. How can you help? If you can use the information that you find here, please tell your friends and neighbors. If you don't like something here, please let me know. Through this feedback loop, we can continue to make improvements. And I thank you for listening. For additional information, please visit franklinmatters.org. If you have questions or comments, you can reach me directly at suresteve@gmail.com. The music for the intro and exit was provided by Michael Clark and the group East of Shirley. The piece is titled Ernesto Mañana, copyright Michael Clark and Tin Type Tunes in 2008, and used with their permission. I hope you enjoy. By the way, you can also subscribe and listen to Franklin Matters Radio on your favorite podcast app. Search in podcasts for Franklin Matters.